Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before so that we would walk in them. Remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were afar off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We're going to be looking this morning at Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 16. I've titled this sermon, God Reconciling Sinners to Himself. In June of 2013, a movie was released in which, according to IMDb and Plugged In, was that the government allowed society a 12-hour period in which any and all crime is legalized, and to, quote, act on any sociopathic tendency, end quote. Plugged In Review goes on to describe the running theme of the movie, quote, "The denial of our true selves is the problem. A doctor says during an interview, sometimes he suggests we all just need to cut loose and kill a little. Opponents suggest that the whole catharsis theory is really a ruse, though, that this yearly night of mayhem may simply be a way to rid society of much of its poor and unproductive populace. Troublemakers kill one another, they say, and the homeless and jobless are slaughtered like sheep This movie is called The Purge. Some of you may have heard of that before. I want you to fast forward now to last week. Monday, April 27th, 2015. The body of Freddie Gray was laid to rest. According to reports, he died of a severe and critical neck injury while in police custody. On Friday, May 1st, the Maryland District Attorney charged six Baltimore City police officers with multiple charges, homicide being the most serious of the charges. The case will go to trial in less than a year. So while we await the trial to see what's going to happen, the Word of God teaches us very specifically, as followers of Christ, that we are not to be presumptuous, giving an answer before hearing it, lest it be a folly and shame to us. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 13. A couple hours after Freddie Gray, his funeral, a mob of young teens passed around a flyer that got around their high school and spread from there through the internet. Some of you may have saw this flyer saying, quote, that a purge was taking place at a specific time beginning at the Mondawin Mall. These teens and adults just wanted to run havoc in Baltimore City, sparking riots, looting, robbery, breaking into stores, targeting officers to cause serious harm, anybody really, willy-nilly, even death. You know what they called it? The Purge. They hurled bricks, rocks, setting garbage cans on fire, tossing them at police, setting patrol units on fire. It's evil. Wickedness. They seem to have rolled their evil around as honey under their tongues, and my, did they love it so. What transpired not too long ago is a lot like 2 Timothy chapter 3 describes, right? Chapter 3, knowing in the last days men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedience to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. What happened in Baltimore City these past several days will be remembered for a long time. It's not going to be remembered as good times. It will be remembered as sad times. Sad for the city, sad for the police, sad for the mayor, sad for the governor, sad for the leadership, sad for the people living in the city of Baltimore, sad for the nation, riots in New York, riots in California, protests here and there. Hope Bible Church, regardless of what the verdict is, what is so obvious in the United States of America is that it is so divided. In so many ways, socially, culturally, morally, racially, a time of trying to figure out a long-standing problem in America, and not just America, but the world. This is not a time for the church to feel defeated. This was not a defeat for the church or the gospel, but an open invitation to step forward and offer the only solution to what the world calls racial tension, and even tension between ruling classes and citizens. We don't need to be scratching our heads and wondering what went wrong or what to do. Church, God has committed to us the solution, the only solution, His solution. Christ. Let's establish the context. The author is the Apostle Paul. Ephesians is a letter about unity. Chapter 1 speaks of believers united with Christ. Chapter 2 speaks of believers united together as a temple. Chapters 3 and 4 speak of fellow Christians interconnected as one body. Chapter 4 also speaks of the need to preserve unity and how we all partake of one spirit with one hope and one baptism and one God and one faith and one Lord. Chapter 5 speaks of the union between a husband and a wife and between Christ and his church. Chapter 6 speaks of the whole armor used in unison with spiritual warfare. So in light of the clear intent of this passage, the rest of this letter, my purpose this morning is to show you that Christ established unity through the cross. Verses 14. Christ is our peace through the cross. Christ is our unity through the cross. Verses 15. Christ is our reconciliation through the cross. It's only the cross. It's only the cross. Christ is our peace through the cross. Verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Look at the phrase, he himself is our peace. It's pretty strong emphasis in the Greek text. The verb is indicates a perpetual source of peace. That is to say, Christ is your only exclusive source of continual peace. It is he and only he. The very person of Christ is your peace. There can be no other. To the people of Baltimore City, you will never come to know peace. Hope Bible Church, to those who may be here, who don't know the Son, you will never come to know peace in your city until you submit to the lordship of the only one who grants the only kind of peace you are so desperately trying to seek. You will never find the kind of peace you are looking for in any civil rights movement or human activism. You will never find the kind of peace you are looking for in any kind of humanitarian aid. You will never find the kind of peace you are so trying to grasp in people such as Malcolm X. You will never try to find the kind of peace you are looking for in Rosa Parks or Nelson Mandela or Coretta Scott King or Martin Luther King Jr. You want to know why activism is temporary? You want to know why it's so short and fleeting? Because it cannot bring about a spiritual reformation of the human heart. As one pastor put it, the political arena and its rhetoric does not have the power to bring about the spiritual transformation our society needs. The kind of peace that I speak to your hearts this morning is the only kind of peace that can be poured into broken hearts. Here are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 14, he says this, peace, what? I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Go to the one who grants peace to the nations. Go to the one whose rule shall be from sea to sea, to the ends of the earth. Go to the one who demands that you give your justice and allegiance to him. Go to the one who truly knows how to defend the cause of the poor, of the people. Go to the one who grants deliverance to the children of the needy. Go to the one who will one day crush the oppressor, Satan. And should you bow the knee to this Christ in true repentance, a mourning over your sin and following after this King of Peace, he will be as a sweet and peaceful rain that falls on mowed grass like showers that water the earth. And he will cause you to flourish. And the peace that Christ will grant to you will abound and rule in your hearts until the moon is no more. when he comes to shake the earth. And you, me, we will come with him riding on his peace. Oh, come to terms with this king. Maryland, Baltimore, those listening, Hope Bible Church, those of you who don't know this king, come to terms of peace with this king. If you refuse his peace, you will never come to know the truth that will set you free. One Baltimore City rioter explained, this is just recently, that if he says, this is exactly what he said, quote, "If it takes us to burn this whole city down to get attention, we are going to do that." My response to this kind of thinking is this. If you really think that it takes the complete destruction and a burning of a whole city to seek what you are looking for, can I suggest to you that I pray that this message finds you? I pray that this message finds others who so need this gospel of peace. Why? Luke chapter 6, verses 45. Because the good man, out of the treasure of his heart, brings forth what is what? What is good. And the evil man, out of the treasure of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills the hearts. What is the source of quarrels and conflict among you? It's not come from your members. You want something and you can't have it. So people will go so far as to kill to get what they want, even if it means the destruction of a city. You not only need our Christ and his peace, but you will truly come to understand the latter half of verses 14. That is Christ who made both groups into one and broke down the wall barrier of the dividing wall. That is to say, Hope Bible Church, and to those who are listening, the Jews and the Gentiles of Jesus' day were separated from each other by a wall, by a barrier, a dividing fence. And because of that barrier, there could be no mixing. There could be no harmony. There could be no agreement between these two groups. If there was ever to be unity, the dividing wall had to be torn down. Just as the wall dividing east and west, Berlin had to come down to unite the people, so then also this wall had to be torn down. When Christ said on the cross, "It is what, church? It is finished." He not only erased race and national distinctions, but that racism too would vanish and our identity in Christ would be one in him. Our Prince of Peace is the only one who has the power to unite Jew, Gentile, under one banner, under one name, under one salvation, under one person, the person of Christ. The person of Christ. War and hostility would disappear under the banner of this king. Christ is our peace through the cross. He's the only peace through the cross. It doesn't just end there. Verse 15, we read that Christ is our unity through the cross. Christ is our unity through the cross. By abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. That Christ abolished in his flesh the enmity is answered in the very next phrase, which is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances. In other words, it was only through the death of Christ that brought unity between Jew and Gentile by putting an end to the Old Testament Mosaic law with all its commandments, ordinances in Israel. Now, this doesn't mean that God's holy, inspired law causes hostility and hatred toward the Gentiles. The law is holy, we know. The law is just and it's good, Romans chapter 7. The law of God prescribed love. It didn't prescribe hatred. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 18. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. You shall love your neighbor as what, church? As yourself. And this love was not limited simply to Israelites. Exodus 22, 21. They were also commanded never to oppress the Gentile, the foreigner, passing through their land. And you shall not wrong a stranger or oppress them, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. So no, the law is not evil. But it was a source of hostility. No doubt about that. Because the law put a spotlight on the sin, on sin, in the human heart, and created an environment in which Jews, dominated by their sinful disposition, would react with hostility toward Gentiles rather than love them. According to the law of Moses, Israel was not to intermarry with Gentiles. They were not to intermingle with them. They were not to mix it up with them. Israel was not to make a covenant with the Gentiles. Israel was not to eat like the Gentiles. Israel was not to worship the gods of the Gentiles, nor observe them, nor observe their ceremonies. Mixture between Jew and Gentile, that is, the people of God and the heathen nations, which it just wasn't allowed. And then we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 4. But when the fullness of the times, of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Galatians chapter 4, and then Romans 8:4. Having become a curse for us, having perfectly fulfilled the requirements of the law, Galatians 4:4, Romans 8:4, in order that Christ, according to verse 15 of Ephesians, might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. The ground and the source of your unity between Jew and Gentile, the ground and source of unity between a black people and a white people, the ground and source of unity for any other nation and tribe and peoples and tongues, the ground of the existence and the permanence of your unity is supernaturally bound up in one person, in whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. The person of Christ. The person of Christ. There's no other way. There can be no other way. There can be only one. Christ is our unity through the cross. I like what James Montgomery Boyce said. He said, the veil between ourselves and God drops only for those who are in Christ. And if we are in Christ, then there can never be a barrier between us and others who are also in Christ. Then there can never be a barrier between us and others who are also in Christ. Otherwise, Christ would be divided. And if we are in him, we are in the same place. We are members of the one body, and peace has been restored between all who are members of it. Christ is your unity through the cross. For a Jew, a Gentile, a black people, a white people, every tribe, nation, tongue. Christ is our unity through the cross. Christ is our peace through the cross. He's our unity through the cross. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. That he might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity. Verse 16. Christ is our reconciliation through the cross. Christ is our reconciliation through the cross. With unity, church, comes reconciliation. With unity comes reconciliation. And reconciliation conveys the idea of a turning from hostility toward God to a friendship. God's wrath is turned away from you. Colossians 1:19, verses 22, I think really illustrates this point of what this idea of reconciliation means. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. When Christ died on the cross, it wasn't only to reconcile and unite Jew and Gentile. It wasn't only to reconcile a black people and a white people. It wasn't only to reconcile nation and tribes and peoples and tongues that hate one another merely for the color of their skin. When Christ died on the cross, it was so that all tribes and nations should be reconciled to God. In repentance and faith in the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he be displeased. And you perish in the way. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to advocate a kind of ecumenical superficial peace. But I am trying to say that the cross of Christ does not forsake the truth for the sake of a superficial peace. Our very own Pastor Leek said this. Some of you may remember this. The vertical relationship with God has been secured by the cross. We are reconciled and we have access to the Father. And that word of reconciliation has been committed to the church to bring people to God before peace in the family and the world can be achieved. That's why I believe the church is the greatest instrument for peace in the world. And it carries the greatest symbol for peace in the cross of Jesus. The church will not help the world achieve unity by participating in a false ecumenical movement where all churches, regardless of their teachings, march to Rome to establish a superficial organizational unity while ignoring the true message of the cross, the only message that can achieve that unity. Do you know what happens when you join together churches that truly believe in the message of the cross with churches that say they do but actually have redefined the meaning of the cross? You achieve no real unity. You simply end up confusing the powerful message of the cross with an impotent false gospel. The peace we bring to the world is through appealing to lost sinners who are bound up in false religion to be reconciled to God through the cross of Christ. It is of sober importance that we ask ourselves this morning, what is the unity we share together here at Hope Bible Church? What holds us together in this ministry? I say that if our unity centers on how we like each other as families and how well we get along, Satan will very easily tear this church apart. If our unity exists because we have no other church to go to, then it's a facade waiting to disintegrate. If our unity centers on loyalty to the pastor, that too can easily be taken advantage of by the enemy. If our unity is the joy of being involved in a small church, when the church grows, what will happen? If our unity centers on what we think is right for our children at this time of their life, that too will dwindle with the changes that occur over time. I submit to you that there has to be something stronger that bonds us together as a church. If churches can get started on the right foot and years later split and split again, then simply being faithful churchgoers won't be enough. There has to be something more powerful, more magnetic, more adhesive. And by the grace of God, there is. There is something so powerful it took two extremely hostile groups, Jews and Gentiles, and put them together in one body, working as one family. The power of that unity is the cross of Jesus Christ, which must be the rallying point of our unity as well. End quote. Hope Bible Church, listen. To all the people of Baltimore City, listen. To anybody, please Listen, in order for kingdoms to change, men must change. Our King of Reconciliation said that unless one is born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. You will not be a part of that reconciliation, but you will be the doom. You will not see your need for Christ. Baltimore City, those who are listening, unbelievers who may be here listening, you will not see your need for Christ until you truly see how lost you really are. Only then, and only then, will you come to know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And Christ will purge your sin away and give to you his righteousness. Christ is our unity. He is your unity through the cross. Christ is your peace through the cross. Christ is your reconciliation through the cross for all peoples and tribes, nations, tongues. For those of you who don't know Christ, please, please, please repent of your sins, forsake your sins, follow Christ the rest of your days. Hope Bible Church, we're going through some testing right now. Emotional testing. Our spiritual challenge, even still, is to proclaim the gospel of peace to the dead. One author said it this way. This is our spiritual challenge. The spiritual challenge of the evangelist is to so breathe the Spirit of God into himself, so bathe his mind with the Word of God, so be in tune with the Master, Creator of this world, so bring his life in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he will be a reflector of the Lord, so that when he is finished preaching, he will know what it means when somebody says, intense is the agony, when the eye begins to see, when the ear begins to hear, when the pulse begins to pound, when the heart begins to throb, get this, when the soul feels its flesh, and when the flesh feels its chains. He who is blessed and the only sovereign, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. And all of God's children said, amen.